A few things, a little bit about me. So I'm Rob Colley. I'm a program manager. That's what my role is back at Microsoft. I spent most of my childhood in Florida, but I basically grew up in Redmond. I went to Microsoft in 96, right out of college, and really Microsoft changed me in a lot of ways. I think some of them intentional, some of the ways not so intentional for Microsoft. I'm really excited to be here. It's my second time in Scandinavia, first time in Sweden. Really enjoying it so far. As Marcus mentioned, I like questions. I've been warned that I'm probably not going to get them. But please be rude, interrupt, ask me questions. I'm actually very sort of uncomfortable with authority and much more comfortable with the conversation. And I hope that wasn't important. Interrupt me if you will. That's okay. Missing anything? Is that actually important?
Yeah, it was actually.
So that's
you keep your finger.
Other than not knocking it off, is there anything else I need to do with it?
No, just...
All right, not knocking it off. All right, I can do that. So at Microsoft, I've done a lot of things. I've been set up. I was the only program manager on the first version of Windows Installer, which is the MSI technology. I got out of that immediately after that. It was a pretty thankless job. I've worked on Excel more than anything else, so you sort of think of me as an Excel professional. I'm pretty good with Excel. I'm not really a SQL person, although now I work for the SQL Analysis Services team, so the OLAP team, which is the team building the vast majority of Power Pivot. So that's where I work. That's what I work for, what I've been doing. I also run the website Power Pivot Pro. How many people have seen Power Pivot Pro so far? Okay, it's about half. Good. A little bit more than half. And also Power Pivot FAQ, FAQ. So I'll show those to you at the end as well. Let's see here. I think that's a pretty good amount of background on me. Another thing about me is that on the teams I work on at Microsoft, I've always been famous more for my ability to communicate in movie quotes than even what I do professionally. One of my favorite movies, Pulp Fiction. You know, the funny thing about Europe is the little differences. That goes through my head every hour while I'm walking around over here, making little observations. I feel like I should be keeping a running blog of just these things. I do love me some Pulp Fiction. And, I was expecting the Royale with cheese. I'm told that here it actually is a quarter pounder. It's a little disappointing. How many pounds are in a kilogram? Does everyone know that? Okay, good. There's also some things that are very similar. Like, I promise you, and I'm not making this up to be patronizing, but when I walked into the office this morning, the front door, I've never been in this building before, I was overwhelmed by the smell of IKEA. There is a smell to IKEA, and the front lobby of this building replicates it completely. I'm not sure if it's the hardwood that's everywhere or if it's the food or something, but there's definitely something IKEA-like about the smell. Okay. So a little bit of an agenda. I'm trying to stick very much to demos. And you'll see that I made a very special Swedish slide theme for today. No expense spared. So I'm just going to tell you sort of a little bit about the why of Power Pivot. Then I'm going to show you a whole bunch of different demos with a little sort of slide breaks. When you see slides today, it's more actually for me. This is the longest, the most of Power Pivot that I've ever shown in one sitting, one go. So, and I'm also a little bit jet lagged and jittery. So it's good that I have a bit of a framework. And then a little bit about why SharePoint, before I switch over to show you some of the SharePoint side demos relating to Power Pivot. Okay, so why Power Pivot? Why we build this? And of course, the honest answer is we built it for money. And the analysis services team, the original motivation behind it, as you might guess, the analysis services team loves cubes. They love it when people build cubes. They love when people deploy cubes and run cubes on servers, because that, you know, cube servers, that's where the money comes in for the AS team. The only problem with cubes, as far as the AS team was concerned, is that there weren't enough of them. And the reason, there's a big bottleneck on the creation of cubes today, and that is the number of people who are able to build them. Now, I worked on Excel, like on Excel 2007, I was the lead program manager in charge of all of the business intelligence features in that product release. So all of the integration with analysis services. Now, program managers, we do design, and we do project management and feature set selection. So we kind of do a lot of the strategy behind the product. Sort of halfway between engineering and marketing and usability. That's halfway of three times. So when I was on that project, I had four people reporting to me, and the five of us together, we designed all of the new features for BI in Excel 2007. Alan Folting, who some of you may know, Alan Folting was the PM, the program manager in charge of pivot tables, the whole reworking of pivot tables, and he's from Denmark. He came from Microsoft Denmark as sort of a consultant and came into Redmond as a member of the program management team. So that's who I went to Denmark with a few years ago. Oh, and by the way, Sweden's a lot nicer than the people in Denmark told me it would be. It's kind of funny. So the bottleneck, the number of people who are able to create them. So I've been exposed to all that technology now for probably 6 years. Been very close to it, and I still personally cannot build a cube. I do not know MDX. I don't know SQL Server integration services. I told you, I'm an Excel guy, and the reason that I was brought into the Power Pivot team was to help design an experience that Excel people can understand. So hopefully I did a decent job of that. But don't confuse me with being a SQL expert. So your questions, you might have to give me a bit more background than what you'd expect. Anyway, so this bottleneck of these consultants, some of you are these consultants, and I've got some explanation later for why your jobs are not going away if Power Pivot takes over. Actually, I think you're more important than ever, but this bottleneck where the business units, they're the ones with the knowledge of the business, the knowledge of the data, sort of in an abstract way, what the business rules are, and also, of course, what their most present immediate business needs are. And I've lived through this cycle myself with a project that I'll explain later. But in order to get a cube or something similar, they have to go through this small bottleneck of people who really can only service, you know, maybe the top 10% of the most important business cube needs or business reporting needs in general. And what about the other 90%? So we like to give them a way to get a lot of the value of cubes without having to bottleneck on some sort of centralized precious resources. Another reason is to take Excel in a new direction. We very much see Power Pivot as an improvement to Excel. We designed it with multiple different customers in mind. And also to take Excel, all of this sort of chaotic behavior, spreadsheet hell and spread marks and things like that. And rather than try to fight it, which has been the response of many IT departments, to try to embrace it and therefore encourage it to behave the right way rather than the wrong way or not exist. And overall, it's a means of supplementing centralized BI. It's not a means, you'll see over time, this is not a way to replace any sort of centralized BI activities. It is very much meant to complement them. Now, any questions so far? I haven't really said much yet, but I want to draw you out in case there are any lingering out there. No? You have questions, you're just not sharing. Okay, so if you've been watching my blog at all, some of these demos will look familiar. The first one I do is called the Temperature Mashup. It's one that I built myself. It's before I forget, I'll mention that this whole demo, the whole workbook, is available on my site. So you can download it and try it out yourself, look at the formulas, look at the relationships. So what I'm done with here, you'll be able to see that for yourself. So this is just sort of an outline of what I'm going to show. Let's flip over to over to Excel. Actually, I'm going to start from scratch. That's how bold. You'll see here that we're loading the analysis services add-in. That really, you can interpret that as being the Power Pivot add-in. This is why Excel 2010 will boot more slowly when it's installed. I have another link on my site to where you can get the Power Pivot beta. So if you have Excel 2010, which is required to run Power Pivot, the download and the install of the add-in is very, very simple. It really is. It's a very small download, very short install, and then like one prompt the next time you launch Excel. It's a very easy thing to try out once you have Excel 2010. Oh, and Excel 2010 can be installed side by side with previous versions. So that's an important thing to note. You don't have to upgrade your entire organization, or even one individual can keep with the old versions. Okay, so the Power Pivot add-in, it's sort of the total surface area that you notice at first, is this new ribbon tab here, the Power Pivot ribbon tab. This is a completely blank workbook. There's not much in it yet. There's nothing in it. So really, the only thing you can do is to launch this Power Pivot window. Now, how many of you have used VBA, the old ancient VBA in Excel? Okay, so this window, this Power Pivot window that you're seeing here, has exactly the same relationship to the Excel window that the VBA window has to Excel. So it's two windows. You can flip back and forth between them. It's not like it's a dialogue floating on top of the other one. They both have separate taskbar entries. But when they both save into the same file. The database and your reports, all of your Excel logic and all of your cube database logic, all of that gets saved into the same file. And that one file runs around sort of throughout the whole workflow. You're not having to manage a separate database and Excel spreadsheet. Okay, so blank canvas here, and I'm going to grab some tables. I'm just going to get some data into the Power Pivot environment. This window is where you sort of collect your data. It's similar to the data source view in analysis services if you've used that. Now, I have a confession to make. And that is that I'm running this on a Hyper-V that a friend of mine prepared, and I've been using it for a while. He did not give me the admin password to his SQL database. To the SQL Server instance on this Hyper-V. So I'm going to use Access as my data source today. I know that that's probably not something that you guys use very much, but I'm using it as a stand-in for SQL, okay? Not as a, although Excel users, we do use Access from time to time. Anyway, the UI is basically the same. I'm going to find the file here. And from this point forward, if I was connecting to SQL, I'd be filling in names of database servers, things like that here. And so I'm still running the CTP3 November beta here. There's a new refresh coming out that I think some people will be getting their hands on. There are some new features that have been added since then, and I'll sort of call out where things have changed a little bit since this build. So I have two options here. I can select from a list of tables. This is sort of the graphical Fisher-Price view, which is what I tend to use. I can also just write a SQL query if I want. So I can, it's just a big text box, paste my SQL statement. The thing that's been added since then is the SQL Reporting Services Query UI has been added into this as well, sort of as a third option. So there's sort of a more advanced graphical option than this first one, I think. That'll probably be something you'll find useful. This is the simple view. These are all the tables in here. Now, these tables all just came from the AdventureWorks data warehouse sample, so it's a pretty easy thing to get your hands on, even if you don't want to use my workbook that's on the site. Anyway, I can select all of them. I can pick a particular one and preview it. I can, uncheck columns, apply little filters. It's all meant to be something that an Excel user is comfortable with. I don't really need to do any of that. I'm going to go ahead and import all of these. And last night I submitted a bug report because it's supposed to when we import from a database, when we import from SQL, we look at the relationship structure between the tables that we're pulling in, and we bring those relationships in with the data. With Access, that doesn't seem to be the case. So I sent this file off last night to our developers to see if it's a peculiarity of my file or something else. Anyway, that'll come up later. So we grabbed a bunch of rows. Didn't take too long. I think I've imported several hundred thousand rows in a couple of minutes before. Oh, a question. Excellent.
What happened in the background now?
What's happening here? Okay. Yes, yes. So we are, yeah?
Can you please, when you get the question, please repeat the question.
Sure, absolutely. So what's happening in the background here during this import process? PowerPivot, the PowerPivot engine, there's a PowerPivot local engine that's installed on the desktop as part of the add-in, and that's going to the Access database through OLEDB and grabbing the entire contents of all of these tables and then packing that into the PowerPivot database format. So it's caching it. It's not, from this point forward, we were going to be working with a copy of the data from those tables. We're not going to be working directly back against Access. We can throw the Access database away now, and it wouldn't affect us at all until we tried to refresh. Is that the question you were after? Okay, cool. So that all happened. We're all done. And again, this is meant to be an Excel-style experience. So what we do is we lay out these essentially sheet tabs along the bottom. There's one sheet tab per table. These are not free-form sheet tabs. I can't just plop a table anywhere. They start at the upper left and they roll to the bottom right. And I can flip between them just like I would flip between regular sheets in Excel. It's one of the sort of the principles of PowerPivot in terms of modeling is that you work on data. You don't work on schema. It's something very important. Excel people, such as myself, we don't really do all that well with schema. We like to work real time with our data, and the speed of the PowerPivot engine actually makes that possible. It's not like I have to create something, a dimension or a measure, and then hit process and wait for it because it's crunching on the disk. It's all happening in memory. It's all very fast. Okay, so here are all my tables. And I can explore them. I can and sort and filter. It's a feature in this window. It's not. It's a question I get all the time. It does not have any impact at all what I've sorted and filtered on in this window. It doesn't affect the model at all. It's just a navigation feature. It's cosmetic for zapping around your data. Because sometimes we can support. Maybe you've seen the demos where we have 100 million rows or more in this window. You don't just want to be scrolling that with the scroll wheel.